704-570-1110 and 1-800-WBT-1110. Welcome. Thanks for letting me be a part of your day. I do appreciate it. You can also email me, Pete@thepetecallinershow.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter or Getter @PeteCalliner. And remember, get the podcast. Comes down usually like after the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock hours. Each hour of the program is its own episode, if you will. And commercial free. Thank you, Ryan, for doing all of that work on the podcast front. And it's just a really easy way to listen to the content whenever you want to. It's free. It comes right to your smartphone or tablet. Go to WBT.com and just follow the podcast right there. All right. So I'm starting to get the sense. Okay. Well, first off, on the inflation front, I don't understand why everybody's making such a big deal about these rising prices. It's not like people need gasoline and food for a lot of stuff. I mean, come on. I mean, like, people just any reason to bash on Biden, right? I actually saw this press release I got earlier today. This is from the Association of General Contractors. Prices of construction materials jumped nearly 20% in 2021, which I think probably is not going to have any impact on affordable housing in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, right? Or anywhere for that matter. I don't see why the price of construction materials would have any impact whatsoever on the price of housing. By the way, we're going to talk with Tony Macia from the Charlotte Ledger later on at 2 o'clock, talk about some development issues and growth issues in Charlotte. So stay tuned for that. Should be fun. A little segment I like to call the latest developments. I'm not actually calling it that, but I guess I could call it that. Prices of construction materials jumped nearly 20% in 2021. Despite moderating in December, according to an analysis by the Associated General Contractors of America. This is based on government data. Association officials said contractors rate material costs as a top concern for 2022, according to a survey predicting the industry's outlook for the industry. Costs may not rise as steeply this year as they did last year, but they are likely to remain volatile with unpredictable pricing and delivery dates for key materials. I can tell you this. My wife and I, Christy, we started looking at buying an existing home when we first came back to Charlotte, and oh my gosh, it's insane. We would go to an open house and then they would cancel the open house. We're sitting outside the house and they cancel the open house because somebody just bought it before it even started, before the open house even could begin. We could not even get into the house to look at it. And you get into these ridiculous bidding wars and all of that. And we were like, you know what? We saw the same thing. It was going on up in Asheville when we were buying our house up there. And except it's worse up in the mountains because you've got housing stock that's just old. It's older housing stock. It's not a lot of buildable land, which puts increased pressure on the pricing. So we just said, you know what, we're going to buy some new construction. But during that process, we got a real crash course in not just, you know, building homes, but we also it was just a neighborhood, and we got to pick a house, and you know, made some choices and changes and that sort of thing. It's called build to suit. So when we came back to Charlotte, we looked around. I think it was like one weekend, and we said, you know what, this is just as bad, almost as bad as the mountains of Western North Carolina. So you know what, let's look around for another new neighborhood. Except here in Charlotte, they make really big neighborhoods because the land is flatter, and Charlotte generally has a more pro-development outlook than Asheville does. And I know that's probably going to shock some people, but yeah, up in the mountains, it's a really weird dynamic. You get these people from New York, California, and Florida. They come to the mountains, and then they're like, well, I got my little piece of heaven, and now I don't want anybody else to come. And so they want to pull up the ladder behind them. And so then they enact all of these regulations to prevent anybody else from coming to town. They block all of the development. They don't want to see, like, there's a street that goes into downtown. If you've ever been to Asheville, there's a it's called Charlotte Street, and it runs out towards the Grove Park Inn, right? And so there's all these old houses, beautiful old houses and stuff. It's very similar to sort of a Southeast Charlotte kind of vibe going to it. Anyway, this street, they did basically what they did to East Boulevard, right, where they took it from two lanes in each direction. They took it down to one in each direction with turn lanes and stuff. And then they started doing there was a rezoning. They were going to tear down a Fuddruckers. No, I know, like, the only chain restaurant ever to get the kind of support in Asheville was Fuddruckers. Why? Because the proposal was to put an apartment building there, like a 4 or 5 story apartment complex, the kind of which, you know, we are very familiar with in Charlotte. And you know what the neighbors were saying? These neighbors who own, you know, these homes are $700,000-$800,000 homes. And you know what they're saying? And Charlotte Street, think in terms of like East Boulevard. That's kind of what it looks like. But you know what their campaign slogan was to try to prevent that from occurring? Don't Charlotte our Asheville. Yeah, yeah. They didn't want Charlotte Street. Don't Charlotte our Charlotte Street. That's what they were campaigning on. Like, they were using Charlotte as a pejorative. This is, yeah, for real. Because in their minds, they think Charlotte is too pro-growth. This is Asheville, the, quote, progressive city that it is. Yeah, progressive, it's just a name. Just like Antifa, it's not really what they're about. It's just a branding effort. They're not really progressive. They're very regressive. They want to lock out all sorts of stuff that they don't like. I don't want to look at that. I want to look at the mountains. And so you can't do anything on your property because it would obstruct my view or change my view of the mountains. I'm not kidding. They literally have a thing out there called view sheds, like a watershed, but it's a view shed. So if you try to build in my line of sight, yeah, that's progressive Asheville for you. I know it has been about 16 minutes since anybody asked Senator Kyrsten Sinema her position on getting rid of the filibuster, but just in case, she went onto the Senate floor and said she's not in favor of getting rid of the 60-vote threshold for the filibuster. So just in case anybody was curious, I'm not sure what Manchin thinks this moment. I think it's been about 14 minutes since somebody asked him, so I'll keep you posted if anything changes, as it has not for the last forever. The coronavirus loses about 50% of its ability to infect about 10 seconds after it goes airborne. Okay, then. Yeah, this is the New York Post article. It says that this is a science experiment. I believe that's a capital S science, a.k.a. Fauci. Well, I mean, he said he's the science. So the British researchers, they say this is the first time anybody has been able to actually simulate what happens to the aerosol during the exhalation process. The experts noted the inaccuracy of experiments conducted by U.S. researchers who found that infectious viruses could still be detected after 3 hours, or found that the infection. Yeah, so in America, when our researchers looked at it, they determined that the virus hung around for 3 hours. Over in the UK, they're like, not 10 minutes. And the reason why there's this disparity in the results is because the American researchers stink. That's apparently, I mean, that's what they kind of said there. They said that the American scientists conducted their studies by spraying virus into sealed rotating drums that do not allow them to recreate what happens when people cough or breathe. So, look, hey, look, this is the science and the data. So 10 minutes, airborne, 10 minutes, and then it's dead. That according to the new study. The UK university researchers' findings highlight the impact of short-range transmission and stress the importance of physical distancing and masking up as the best way to avoid infection. So close. So you expect me to believe that wearing the mask, and I'm guessing this is one of the good masks, the N95s or something, right? So be far away and wear a mask, and then it'll take longer than 10 seconds for the virus to get across the room and infect you. I guess that's the idea here. While deemed worthwhile, ventilation was deemed to be less effective. Ventilation, less effective. Well, ventilation, I've said this since the Waterloo University research that came out that showed ventilation actually was better than cloth masking. Now, if this is the N95 masking that they're studying, that is different. The N95s are better. Absolutely. But the N95s, when properly worn, there's a key part of the equation. When properly worn, properly fitted, tight, like you want to see like the ruptured blood vessels and stuff on the cheeks. You know, remember all the pictures we saw of the healthcare professionals that were like, I got to wear a mask 12 hours a day. And they remember they showed all the pictures and stuff. That's properly fitted right there. Okay. That's what we should all be looking like now, I guess. And so the ventilation was deemed to be as effective as the N95 masks. Now, these guys in the UK, they're like, not the case. But, I mean, they are from Britain. And honestly, can you trust people with teeth that bad? Of course they want the masks to last in perpetuity. I mean, wouldn't you if you had their teeth? I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not an expert on the British teeth or anything or their dental hygiene practices. I just know what I see on television and such and in sporting events. According to this research out of the UK, viral particles of COVID quickly lose moisture and they dry out after they are expelled from the lungs. The particles' pH also rises rapidly, and the carbon dioxide in their environment, when the carbon dioxide in the environment drops, the relative humidity of the surrounding air affects how fast the particles dry out. Which makes sense, right? If it's drier, then the particles dry out more quickly. If it's really humid, though, it doesn't. Well, that doesn't explain why so many people around, like the tropics and stuff, they're not being afflicted with the COVID so much. I'm not hearing about it. And I fancy myself one who pays attention to a lot of things. Usually I'm aware of stuff going on the planet. When under 50%, such as the relatively dry air in an office, the virus had become half as infectious within 10 seconds. Within 10 seconds, it becomes half as infectious, but it's still infectious. At 90% humidity, 52% of particles remain infectious after 5 minutes, though. That goes down to 10% infectious after 20 minutes. I know there's a lot of numbers, but when it's humid, it's more soupy, and so it's more infectious. Air temperature also did not affect the infectivity, contradicting the widely held belief that transmission is lower during warm weather. So why is it lower? Is it because we're not spending more time around each other in the warm weather? Anyway. Meanwhile, the Associated Press, they're going to be not focusing so much anymore on the case counts. good. First, I'd like to say good. Second, welcome to the party, pal. And glad you are here, AP. I have been beating away this drum for months now, saying that media focuses too much on the case counts. But now that Biden's approval numbers are like in the low 30s, I guess now we got to stop looking at it. Okay, fine. So, all right, I'm being a little cynical there. Fair enough. I'm being a little cynical. Maybe realistic. But chalk it up to cynicism. Fine. That the reason why we are now going to focus on not case counts is because California and New York are setting records on case counts. And Biden's approval numbers are in the low 30s. He's lost support. I mean, there isn't anybody that likes him, basically. I mean, think about that. He's like at 30-something percent. Democrats aren't even, like, in his corner at this point. So there's that. You got the rising case counts in in California and New York, and if we can't beat up on Florida and use it to signal our moral superiority because now our case counts are higher, well then, by golly, by gosh, we got to stop looking at the case counts. Right? That's, look, they're saying that this is because Omicron is, you know, making us rethink this, but I don't believe you. You know why I don't believe you? Because you didn't change any of these metrics. You didn't change any of the focus. You know, when it was, I don't know, easier to use the data to beat up on your political opponents. But now that the stars align and it serves a grander political agenda, now we can kind of shift away from the case counts. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that there were people inside the Biden administration saying we need to move away from case counts. And I said at the time, I support that. But that does not mean I'm not going to drag your butts over this you know, Johnny-come-lately approach to abandoning the case counts. Because case counts are not particularly instructive, and the media hyper-focus on it has done grave damage to the society. It really has. It's got people believing that the risks are way out of proportion to what they actually are. So here's the AP story by David Bowder. For 2 years, coronavirus case counts and hospitalizations have been widely used barometers of the pandemic's march across the world. But the Omicron wave is making a mess of the usual statistics, forcing news organizations to rethink the way they report such figures. It's just a data disaster. See what I mean? It's like this voice from nowhere. It's this passive kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is happening to us. In the media, right? Like as if they've had no role whatsoever in the promotion of this data. It's a data disaster, said Catherine Wu, staff writer who covers COVID-19 for The Atlantic magazine. The number of case counts soared over the holidays, especially in California and New York, an expected development given the emergence of a variant more transmissible than its predecessors. Oh, that reminds me. You got to listen to this. Well, hang on. Yeah, I can play. Listen to this audio clip of Kamala Harris. she's interviewed here by CBS. Take a listen to this question and answer.
Does the administration say, you know what, this strategy isn't working? We're going to change strategies. Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
What?
Every day it is time for us to agree.
What?
That there are things and tools that are available to us to what? Slow this thing down.
Oh, my God. She's Michael Scott. She's Michael Scott from The Office. She's Steve Carell's character from The Office. She's just terrible. Gosh, I have no idea why she dropped out of the Democratic primary before literally everybody else. It's a mystery. We may never know. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT 704-570-1110 1-800-WBT 1110. So yes, I was just reminded. I meant to say this earlier and I forgot. I apologize. But if you're listening on 99.3 FM, we're off the air. So you can't hear me say that. So listen to 1110 AM or WBT.com or tell your smart speaker to open News Talk 1110 WBT. So you got some options. It's not like the old days where if it was, you know, the stick goes down, then like you got no other options available. Luckily, we live in the times we live in, right? I mean, despite the COVID and the Joe Biden and such and Kamala Harris, despite that, we have multiple options to hear this quality content. So you can go to WBT.com. You can listen on the AM side of things. So they're doing maintenance on the stick, and so it's got to get fixed. And so they're doing that. And we thank you. Yeah, Kamala Harris. She's Michael Scott. If you've not seen the program The Office, first off, you probably should because it's hilarious and there's a lot of cultural touchstones that you're missing. But it also may not be around if the woke warriors get their way in a couple years, I'm sure. because everything will be problematic. And some of the stuff that makes the show funny in a cringy kind of way is because it is inappropriate and awkward, and he does things that no manager should ever do in a workplace environment. That's the comedy. And this is her answer about, hey, maybe, you know, the administration needs to try some different things. Maybe this stuff isn't working. Is now the time to shift gears? That was the question. And so she's like trying to answer this. She's trying to answer it with like a segue, which is why I tell people all the time, like when you hear me do segues, and I know like people hear me do a segue and they think I could do that. But I'm telling you, you can't. It's so much more difficult than people realize. Okay, I'm a professional at this. Right? Speaking of professionals, Kamala Harris is not. Okay? She is not a professional segwayer. You can hear it. Listen.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
So she's like, so she starts with it, because the question was, is it time to shift? So she's trying to use his question to then pivot. To switcheroo, if you will, over to this, oh, it's time to not do anything differently than we've been doing because we're so awesome at doing everything perfectly that we've been doing without doing anything at all perfectly. See, so she's trying to shift gears and using, because this is one of those things where if you repeat, here's a little peek behind the curtain, okay? When people ask a question, if you can use in your answer, some words from their question, they feel like you're answering them, even though you're not. So you should also be on guard for that, by the way. Ladies, this is also a trick dudes use when wooing women. Just a heads up. Because it really makes you feel like he listens. And all you're doing, actually, is just saying this literally the same word or phrase back to the person. That's it. Another one is like, great question, even though it may not be a great question, but it gets buy-in from the person asking. So the guy asks, this CBS reporter asks, I'm sorry, I don't know his name. I'll just re-rack the whole clip.
Does the administration say, you know what, the strategy isn't working?
The strategy isn't working.
Strategies. Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
It's time for us to do what we've been doing, which we've been doing every day.
Every day it is time for us to agree
oh my God.
That there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
Oh my gosh, she's just so bad. So bad. All right, so Omicron, it's just so contagious, so transmissible, and that's why everybody is getting it. And we're seeing massive case count spikes in these, you know, morally superior states like California and New York, where they have all of the mask mandates and they've got all of the vaccine mandates. And like, we're masking as hard as we can and we're locking it down as best we can. And all you rube, knuckle, dragon, mouth breathing people in the South and in the heartland, you kind of deserve it. Because like you're so anti-science and you're just bad people. You're plague rats. That's what some of these leftists are referred. I got referred to as a plague rat, and I'm vaccinated. So I got referred to as a plague rat last week because I got sick. By the way, Glenn Beck has got COVID again. He had it before. He got it again. And so now the lefties are dunking on the plague rat Glenn Beck for getting COVID again because he's not vaccinated. Yeah, he had COVID already, you morons. He had it already. Why would you get vaccinated if you had it already? Well, because he then got it again. You realize people who have been vaccinated also get COVID. Like, for example, just off the top of my head, oh, me. Yeah, me. I got it. The Associated Press has now told its editors and reporters to avoid emphasizing case counts in stories about the disease. That means, for example, no more stories focused solely on a particular country or state setting one-day records for case counts. Oh, isn't this? I'm sure it's just coincidental that this change in approach on reporting, it just so happens to coincide with the massive spikes in case counts going on in liberal states and plummeting approval numbers for Joe Biden.